Okay, well, hello everybody. Hello everybody.
Hello.
Hey, very good. So this session is a session called How to Use Point of Sale Devices in Your Application. The title of this session is a little misleading in that what this should really say is how to use point of service devices in your application. And I'll explain what that means in one or two slides. My name is Mike Hall. I'm a software architect in the Windows Embedded team. This session is really going to show you how to write an application that consumes retail devices, typical kind of standard retail devices, things like barcode, symbology scanners, and magnetic stripe readers, and then how to extend your application by using other devices such as receipt printers and so on to build a fully-fledged point-of-sale, point-of-service style application. Now, I'm sure many of you, like me, have kind of been at a store, and you kind of go in to do some shopping, and you know exactly what you want to buy, so you rush around the store, get your stuff, get to the checkout, and there's a queue, right? There's a bunch of people in front of you that are taking their time working through the system, and it would be kind of cool if people within the store were carrying some kind of mobile handheld, you know, maybe small tablet or something that they could walk along that queue, scan the stuff that you have, swipe your credit card, maybe email you some kind of receipt or something, and then you're on your way. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be awesome, right? Yeah, that would be awesome. Okay, so in the time that it would typically take you to get from the back of the queue to the front of the queue, you could write the code to support a magnetic stripe reader and a barcode scanner in a Windows 8.1 store application. So now I bet you're all kind of sat there thinking, well, wait a second, why is this session an hour if it's only going to take 3 or 4 minutes to write all the code? Well, there's a lot of stuff to get through and explain how it all works, and so let's get into it. Okay, so this is the agenda. What we're going to run through is typical kind of POS architecture. There's some history in the POS world. There are a whole bunch of different standards in the POS world, so we'll talk about some of that. Which has really helped shape the API that we've built and delivered as part of Windows 8.1. We'll then talk about a typical POS application flow. There are a number of things that we need to think about as we start to build applications for Windows 8.1, the ability to have multiple applications on the screen at the same time. Well, who actually has control over the scanner or the magnetic stripe reader if I've got multiple applications that potentially want to consume data from these devices? So we'll talk about that. We'll obviously build an application that shows you how to use these APIs. And I've got a couple of partner demos, one that I'll start the session with, and then I'll invite Royal Gate up onto the stage to wrap up the session and show you a solution that pulls together not only the kind of the core devices, scanner and magnetic stripe reader, but also adds additional devices like Bluetooth receipt printer. Okay, so one thing I've already mentioned is that we should really be thinking of this not necessarily just in general terms of point of sale, but think of it in a much broader category of point of service. I'm pretty sure many of you have, you know, flown here from some kind of through some kind of airport, and when you got to your airport, you probably used some kind of check-in terminal. Rather than queuing at a desk. And that check-in terminal maybe asked you to scan a barcode or insert your credit card or something like that to identify you so that you could then be checked in for the flight. Well, there's another really good example of an application that is using both a magnetic stripe reader and a scanner rather than being just pure point of sale. The real retail type model is helping you kind of, in this case, check in for your flight. So think of this in terms of a broader category of applications, not just point of sale, but think of this in terms of point of service and all the various places that you can scan symbologies and also read various types of card. And we'll get into the different types of card that can be read as we get into the session. Okay, so the first thing that I'm going to start with is just a demo to give you a feel of the type of thing that we're talking about in terms of application and peripheral support. So the first thing that I'm going to do is switch over to Surface Pro, and I'm going to be using this for most of the demos. So when we're coding, we're going to be using this, and I've got some examples of multiple applications using devices we'll get into as well. So this is an application from a company called InnoFence. InnoFence is a company that produces software that allows you to obviously run the application on a Windows class device. They already have an application in the Windows 8 store. The issue with their issue, in general terms, with their current application is there are no built-in POS, scanner, magnetic stripe reader APIs in Windows 8. So the way they handle magstripe reading today is by using a magnetic stripe reader in USB HID keyboard mode. So as somebody swipes the credit card through the magnetic stripe reader, it's sending a series of keystrokes to the current application, which is obviously not ideal, especially if you want to deal with not only the unencrypted data, but encrypted data that comes off of the card. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit more later. Okay, so within this application, I have the ability to create a new transaction. One of the things that I need here is a credit card to swipe. Obviously, we're going to be doing some kind of transaction here. So if anybody has a credit card they'd like to donate for this demo. No takers? Okay, fine. All right, so I've got a credit card here, and I've got a magnetic stripe reader that is connected to my Surface Pro. So I'm going to run the credit card through. You'll notice on the right-hand side of the display, Caroline Austin has come up. What we can do now within this application is enter a subtotal for this transaction and then charge this transaction. The application is kind of interesting in that not only can it process the transaction, but it also gives you the ability, based on location, to figure out what the kind of local tax rate is for this transaction as well. So rather than charging this transaction, what I'm going to do is go back, open a transaction that's already occurred, and what we can see here is that based on location, the location here is actually the Microsoft Advanta campus. The signature that was captured as part of this transaction, the total for this transaction, all kind of really cool. But you also have the ability, once you've completed a transaction, to hit share and then directly share or send an email to the customer with their complete transaction record. So they get their receipt sent to them as part of that transaction. So that's kind of cool. So InnoFence have taken their existing Windows 8 store application and in less than an hour moved that application forward from Windows 8 to Windows 8.1, now using the new point-of-sale magnetic stripe reader APIs to now integrate a USB-connected encrypted card reader into their application. Okay, so what we're going to do in just a second is actually walk you through how to build that application. Okay, so this slide basically tells you what you've just seen. It's a credit card terminal, gives you the ability to read cards, capture signatures, calculate tax based on location, obviously map the transaction based on the location, and then send customer receipts as an attachment, in this case a PDF. Okay, so let's get into introduction to POS. So I've already mentioned there are a number of standards in the POS space, things like the payment card industry or PCI, that deals with the security of card data and encryption of card data from a magnetic stripe reader. One of the standards bodies is a standard body called the Unified POS or Unified Point of Service Standard, which is driven through the National Retail Federation. And they've been driving standards for point of sale systems and APIs for a number of years. So if we think across various implementations of the Unified Point of Service API, you may be familiar with things like OPOS, Olay for Point of Service, or POS.net, the POS solution for desktop.net applications. These implementations are based around that unified POS definition or standard in terms of the API surface that is defined for application developers to consume. So as we get into looking at the APIs for scanner and magnetic stripe reader in Windows 8.1, if you're already a developer that's either using Olay POS or POS.net, the APIs that I'll show you should feel very natural and very familiar to you in terms of the API flow, the model, the naming, and so on, right? Okay. So UPOS drives the standards across the general point of sale, point of service industry, which includes support for a whole range of different devices, including scanner, stripe reader, receipt printer, and the typical kind of devices that would make up a static point of sale system within a store. I've already mentioned POS.NET. When we think about POS.NET, POS.NET gives you the ability to build a desktop class application using the .NET framework. So we can see the stack on the right-hand side. Application sits on top of POS.NET. POS.NET sits on top of what are called POS.NET service objects. So in effect, there's a contract that exists here that allows a device developer, say you're a magnetic stripe reader, device manufacturer, you can write a service object that sits beneath POS.NET to, in effect, hook up POS.NET to your magnetic stripe reader, right? So there's an extensibility layer within POS.NET that gives you the ability to add support for not new peripherals as such, but service objects that hook up POS.NET to your specific implementation of a device. And that sits on top of the .NET framework, which sits on top of Windows, which in turn sits on top of the physical hardware. This supports each of the different device classes that are defined through UPOS, and there are a number of different devices. You may be familiar with many of these, including things such as cash drawers and change machines and a whole range of other devices. So this really gives you a model where you can extend POS.NET above the line by adding additional service objects into the model. Okay. So what about POS.RT, the point of sale, point of service, runtime APIs that we've added into Windows 8.1? There are a number of benefits to using the POS.RT APIs, the first of which is you obviously get the ability to create a store application. And that store application can be deployed once by you and run across multiple processor architectures, right? So obviously x86, x64, and ARM. And during the session today, we'll actually see examples of POS applications running across all three. A demo towards the end here will be running on a Surface RT. What you get here is application and POS hardware abstraction, which is kind of interesting. So historically, if you want to talk to some specialized piece of hardware, you have to have knowledge of that hardware, the protocols that are used to talk to that hardware, and your application is potentially tied to that specific hardware. One of the benefits of putting an API into Windows that abstracts you for scanner and magnetic stripe reader is the ability for you to write an application once and therefore not necessarily care about the physical implementation of the hardware that sits underneath you. And lastly, another benefit is the fact that the API is pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. I've already mentioned that if you're pretty familiar with UPOS, OPOS, POS.NET, then the APIs that we'll show you in a few minutes should feel very natural, very easy for you to use. The interesting thing about the APIs is they're callable not only from WinRT for store-based applications, but they're also callable from desktop applications as well. So you get the benefits of both sides there. So for Windows 8.1, the POS.RT APIs, the supported devices, which really what we're doing here is adding in APIs to solve that scenario that I gave you at the beginning of the session, that kind of mobile POS solution, the ability for you to line bust within a store or potentially build some of these broader fixed category devices that use scanners and magnetic stripe readers. So the first two devices are barcode scanner and magnetic stripe reader. Connectivity is through USB HID. There's some history behind USB HID support for these two different classes of device. If you think about the USB HID standards body, very much like UPOS and various other standards bodies, there are a whole range of different devices or classes of device that are supported through USB HID. Some of the obvious ones are things like USB HID keyboard, USB HID mouse. And for an operating system like Windows, creating a standard for USB HID keyboard and USB HID mouse gives us the ability to create a single class driver that supports all of these different classes of device that meet the same level of functionality. So if you plug in a keyboard, you don't need to load a new driver because it's a USB HID keyboard device. If I plug in a mouse, that's going to work the same way, right? So in the case of the USB HID standards body, there is a standard for USB HID POS scanner. And there is also a standard for USB HID POS MSR, or magnetic stripe reader. A number of barcode scanner manufacturers build devices that adhere to USB HID scanner specification. So in that case, we've written a class driver to support those classes of device. In the case of Magnetic Stripe Reader, since that initial USB HID MSR specification was written, the industry has changed somewhat in that the requirement around encrypting data at the read head on the Magnetic Stripe Reader was not considered as part of that initial specification and therefore is not supported as part of that specification. So for MSR, rather than having a class driver, we have inbox drivers that support two different types of Magnetic Stripe Reader from two different manufacturers, Magtech and IDTech. So if you need access to additional devices outside of barcode scanner and Magnetic Stripe Reader, there are a number of sessions that have probably already been given here at Build that cover how to talk to Bluetooth devices or USB HID class devices outside of the built-in frameworks and APIs. So, you know, go take a look at those sessions. And in fact, at the end of this session, we'll have a demo from Royal Gate on how to use a Bluetooth receipt printer, a Bluetooth-connected scanner, and a Bluetooth-connected MagStripe reader. So I've already mentioned USB HID keyboard a couple of times. You might think to yourself, well, a USB HID keyboard device is pretty straightforward, right? I swipe a credit card through a card reader. It sends me all of the data. I can then do whatever I want with that. But there are a number of downsides to using a USB HID keyboard class device. The first of which is, obviously, you need to have focus on the appropriate control to receive the data because it's literally keyboard keystrokes coming into your application, right? So you need to make sure that the appropriate control in your application has focus at the time that the card is read so that you could potentially hide all of that data from the user because the user obviously doesn't want to see a stream of characters appearing inside of the application. And obviously you need to parse all of that data yourself because you're just getting a stream of keystrokes coming into your application. And you have no way of locking that card reader to your specific application, which is also a problem for things like payment card security and so on. So if I'm running one application on the screen and then I launch a second application, so I've got two applications snapped side by side on the screen and I just happen to have focus on the wrong application when I swipe the credit card, which application is going to get the data? Well, potentially the wrong application, right? And that's obviously not a particularly good thing to happen. I've mentioned that one of the requirements in the payment card world is for encrypted data. And if you're getting data off of a keyboard, USB HID keyboard class device, then obviously the only thing that you're really going to get is the unencrypted data, which is not ideal either. Okay, who's interested in code and demos? Okay, only about half the audience. Okay, so let's get into some code and demos. So the first thing to be aware of is that in order for your application to make use of the point-of-sale, point-of-service devices, scanner, MagStripe reader, you need to define a device capability for your application. So by default, applications get a number of capabilities. For example, internet client. You know, most applications today are going to be using networking to either send or receive data. And in the case of something like a point-of-sale application, that's pretty obvious that you're going to need some kind of networking connection. Once you've captured all that data from the user, you probably want to send it somewhere. Things like print and sensors are enabled by default. In the case of point-of-service, you need to go edit the application manifest and drop in a new device capability, which is called device capability point of service. If you write all of your code to make use of a scanner or a Magnetic Stripe reader, your code could be perfect. If you don't add the capability and you run the application, you build it, builds fine. Run it, runs fine. Trying to use the scanner or the Magnetic Stripe reader, you won't be able to actually get an instance of either of the devices. So if you're trying to create an instance of a scanner or an MSR and it's always coming back null, you don't get an instance of it, first thing to go check is to make sure you've got the device capability turned on in the manifest. The API usage pattern is also fairly straightforward. And in fact, if you've already used many of the built-in APIs to make use of sensors, say, inside of Windows 8, the API pattern here for finding a device and creating an instance of a device should also feel very familiar. So there are a number of ways to do this. You can use Windows Devices Enumeration, or you can use device class, either scanner or magnetic stripe reader, dot, get, default, async. Or you could use a device watcher to look for a device either being connected or disconnected from the system. So there are a number of different ways in which you can find your device and then go create an instance of the device. I think most developers are probably going to be using get default async, because for many of the classes of device, like a small ruggedized tablet with a built-in scanner and a built-in MagStripe reader, you would only expect to find one of these devices built into the device, right? So in many cases, calling scanner or magnetic stripe reader dot get default async is probably going to be what you're going to be doing most of the time. There is an interesting notion here, which is a notion of a claim and release model. So creating an instance of a device only really gets you an instance of the device, right? But it doesn't give you the ability to read-write data to that device. What you need to do is claim that device. Once you've claimed the device, you can then set up your data callback to receive data from that. So for example, if I've got a barcode scanner, once I've used the scanner dot get default async, so now I've got an instance of the scanner, I then call a claim on that scanner, and once I've got the claim, I can then set up my data handler. There's an additional step that needs to be done, and we'll get onto this in a second. So one of the things that I already mentioned is that in Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, you have the ability to potentially have multiple applications on screen at the same time, right? So maybe two side by side. And if both of these applications are point of sale aware applications, it's possible that one application has got a claim on the scanner or the magnetic stripe reader or both, and then the second application potentially wants to get a claim on that scanner or magnetic stripe reader. So what is the appropriate behavior in that case? Is it that the first application should be able to get a claim on that device and hold that claim indefinitely? Who thinks yes? What? The one that has the focus should keep the claim? Okay, well, that's one potential model. But it could well be that the application that has lost the focus could well be right in the middle of a transaction of some kind. So the model that we've put in place here is actually a cooperative claim model. So in this case, the first application makes a claim on the device, on the scanner or MSR, has obviously created an instance of that scanner or MSR. It has the claim. So you can not only set up a data callback for when data is scanned off of the scanner or read off of the card, but you can also set up a notification for another application requesting a claim on that device. Okay, so if the second application now comes in, you have the ability to call back and say, no, actually I need to retain this device because I'm in the middle of a transaction. If you don't call back and say, I need to retain this device, then we automatically assume that you don't need it and we'll take the claim away from you and hand it off to the second application. So it's a cooperative claim, cooperative lock mechanism between applications here. What we'll see is that there are a number of common properties, methods, and events that are used across these devices. The pattern for the data callback and the event args that you get and the way that you look at the data is very similar across both the scanner and the magnetic stripe reader. One thing to point out here, the final, I was going to call it a bullet point, but there isn't actually a bullet. The final note here is handling applications, suspend and resume. So let's say that you've written an application, and your application is running, and I've got a claim on a scanner, right? So I'm actively scanning things within my application. And then I switch to another application, full screen, my application gets suspended. What happens to my claim on that device, on the scanner? Well, my application is no longer active, it's no longer running, and we don't want this new application to be in the situation where it can't get a claim on that device, right? So the new application, when it starts, creates an instance of the scanner and then requests a claim on that scanner. Obviously, we can't call back to the application that's been suspended. It can't respond to say that it needs to retain the claim, so we'll automatically hand off the claim to this new application that's requesting the claim, right? So what happens when your application resumes? Well, it obviously needs to go through the resume phase, pull back any resources that it was using, create an instance of the scanner, and you know, obviously reclaim the device, right? Okay, so for barcode scanner, we've already talked about Windows devices enumeration. You'd use scanner.getDeviceSelector to get the device selector string that you would pass into Windows devices enumeration and then get the device collection that you can iterate across to find out which devices are available, right? You can call getDefaultAsync to get the default device or fromIDAsync once you've pulled out one of the device items from the device collection. So all of this model is very familiar. If you're already using many of the sensors built into Windows, this should be a very familiar model to you. Claim Scanner Async is something that we've already talked about. In order for you to get data from the scanner, you need to claim the scanner. And then finally, this notion of enable and disable, right? So step one is get an instance of the device. Step two is claim the device. And then step three is enable the device. Why do we need an enable and disable? Well, I'm sure many of you have been at the supermarket and you've been at the checkout, and the person at the checkout is rapidly scanning things across the scanner as part of the fixed POS terminal, right? Everyone seen that, right? And sometimes you get in the situation where the guy swipes something through the system and maybe the barcode isn't recognized. So what actually happens there is the guy probably doesn't even notice that the barcode wasn't recognized because he's not looking at the screen, he's just swiping stuff through. And when he gets to the next item, it won't scan through. There's no beep coming off the scanner. So typically in the point of sale world, what you'll find is that the application that is actively using a device like a scanner will call enable so that it can read data from that device. And then once a read has occurred, it will then call disable to say, don't send me any more data. It will then do the database lookup at the corporate backend to read that data, return the object, parse the data, you know, display it on the screen, and then re-enable the device so that you can then effectively scan the next item through, right? So this is the basic model here. Get an instance of the device, claim the device, enable the device, and then you can start reading data from the device. Does that make sense? Okay. In terms of events, there is a data received event, so barcode scanner data received event, and therefore event args. And there are three pieces of data that you get back as part of the event args. You get the raw kind of red data from the barcode, which is scanned data. You get scanned data label, which is the scanned data converted into a string if the data that's being read from that symbology, because obviously, when we talk about barcodes, it's much more than just kind of physical vertical bars. You also get things like QR codes and other types of symbols that are obviously not bars, but they're a type of symbol symbology. And finally, you also get recognition of the type of barcode that was read as well. So as a developer, you can look at what type of barcode was this, what was the original data that came off that barcode read, and if that data can be translated into a string, I get that kind of string data back as well. All right, so that's the format of the barcode scanner. You also get an error occurred event in case there's any kind of error as part of the read. Magnetic Stripe Reader is very similar to this. Windows devices enumeration should look very similar. Familiar get device selector, very similar. Get default async, from ID async, claim magnetic stripe reader async, enable disable. You can see the pattern is almost identical to that of the scanner. But then we start to get into some of the differences between scanner and magnetic stripe reader. The first thing is that a magnetic stripe card, and I'm kind of hold one up now, has obviously a magnetic stripe on it and has four different tracks of data on the back of the card, right? From a card type, we saw on the previous slide, when I'm reading a barcode, I get the, you know, barcode data received event. But in the case of a magnetic stripe card, there are really three different classes of card that can be read. There's a bank card, and I'm sure, you know, all of you use that when you're shopping. There's also a motor vehicle card, and not every state has motor vehicle cards that have a magnetic stripe on it. Only certain states have that. And there's also a vendor-specific card. So you think about the loyalty card that you might use when you're shopping, or think about the card that you use to check in at the sports center, or think about the room key that you use to get into your hotel. Right? All these are examples of cards that have a magnetic stripe on them, but they're obviously not a bank card, and they're obviously not a driving license. Right? So there are three separate events that you can get back from reading a magnetic stripe. So as a developer, you probably know your scenario. I'm writing a fixed POS terminal payment application. Therefore, I'm really not interested in motor vehicle cards or vendor cards. I'm only interested in bank cards, right? So you, in that case, only set up the bank card data received event. Okay, make sense? Okay. So here's what the barcode scanner and magstripe reader claim model looks like. You can see within this code, in effect, what I'm doing here at the top is claiming a scanner. I'm setting up the data received event. And then in yellow, I'm also setting up something called the claim scanner release device requested event handler. So in this case, what happens is if a second application comes in and makes a request to claim the, in this case, the scanner, what I'm going to do here is call E, which is the event data, dot retain device, right? Which is a notification back to the API that says, my application is not done. I need to keep hold of the claim on this device. So the comment above it tells you everything, right? Keep claim and carry on, right? So this is the only place that I'll show you this kind of claim handling piece. But what I want to do now is just kind of switch back to the surface and actually show you this in practice. I need to just log in for a second. Okay, so what I'm going to do is launch an application, POSApp 1, and I'll dock that left. And then I'm going to launch a second application, and that'll be docked on the right. So what you'll see is the applications look very similar. I have the ability here to connect the scanner, claim the scanner, and then obviously scan some data, right? But I can also release my claim on the device and then release the device completely. So I'm now not using it at all. So what I'm going to do is connect on scanner app 1. Connect the scanner, it's connected. I'm going to claim the scanner, it's now claimed. So now what I should have the ability to do is use my barcode scanner to scan something and have that number appear in the application. All right? Crowd goes wild at that point, right? Yes. All right. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. Oh, scan more things. All right, so I've released the claim, I've disconnected the scanner. So what about scanner app 2? It's obviously on screen at the same time as scanner app 1. So I'm going to connect the scanner, claim the scanner, and then in scanner app 2, I'm going to connect the scanner, get default async, right? So I've now got an instance of the scanner, and now I'm going to claim the scanner. What's going to happen? Does app 2 get the claim, or does app 2 not get the claim? Hands up who thinks app 2 gets the claim. Okay, who thinks app 2 does not get the claim? Okay, and who's kind of unsure? All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is hit claim scanner on the right, and it's got the claim. Why? Because what you'll see on the left-hand side is something just beneath claim scanner that says keep claim, and it's currently turned off, that little toggle switch, right, which means that the application doesn't keep the claim. All right, so I'm now going to release the claim, disconnect the scanner, release the claim, disconnect the scanner. And now what I'm going to do is keep the claim, turn that on. So I'm going to connect and claim, and then connect and claim. And you notice the application on the right this time did not get the claim, right? Because in this case, the application on the left had the keep claim toggle on, so it's calling e-retain device. Right, and saying here, no, I'm in the middle of a transaction. I don't want to let go of the device at this point. Right? Everyone get it? Yes, thank you. All right. Shut these two down. Okay. Back to the slides. All right, so who wants to build a point-of-sale application that uses all of these amazing devices? all right, come on up and... No. All right, so let's go ahead and build an application. So I'm going to launch Visual Studio. I'm going to launch a project. It's called PosApp. Now, unfortunately, it turns out the flight from Seattle to San Francisco isn't quite as long as I wanted it to be, because I was writing this application on the flight down and didn't get to finish it off. So it's perfect timing for me to actually finish it off right here in this room, right? Okay, so what I'm going to do... What? Oh, thank you. All right, better? Okay, so what I'm going to do is build this application, and the build completes. I'm then going to launch the application, and here's the application, the world's most amazing point-of-sale application, right? Best POS app you'll ever see. I've got a button here called Begin Transaction, and the code behind this is going to go find the scanner, find the magnetic stripe reader, you know, get default async, get a claim on them, set up the data callback handlers on each, and then we'll get the data and we can do amazing things, right? Okay, so I click Begin Transaction, which does all this amazing stuff. I start scanning barcodes, and nothing's appearing in the item list on the left-hand side. And the reason why nothing's there is because, wait a second, we haven't actually written that piece of code yet, right? So let's go ahead and do that, kind of fill in the gaps. You can see what the application looks like in its current form. Now what we're going to do is go and fill in the pieces that are currently missing. So I'm just going to stop debugging. Now, what's the first thing that I need to do?
Write code.
Perfect. Yes, we need to do that. But in order to use the APIs, yes. What? Right. So what we're going to do here is set the capabilities. So what I'm going to do is just open up the app manifest, open with an XML text editor, right? And then I'm going to page down, and I need to set a capability, right? So this is going to be capability, device capability, point of service, right? Okay, watch carefully. All right, device capability, point of service. Okay, done. Capability is now set. The next thing that we're going to do is come into the code here. I'm going to set the focus appropriately, page down in here. And what we need to do is drop in some using statements for the stuff that we're going to use. I've got Windows UI pop-ups. If I scan a barcode that isn't recognized, I'm going to throw a message dialog up on the screen that says I didn't recognize this barcode. I've got an extensive enterprise corporate database backing all of the barcodes I'm going to be scanning, right? So hopefully the internet's working well for me today. Storage streams, because we need to decode the data that we get off of the barcode read. Point of service, obviously, for point of service. Okay. So the next thing that I need to do is just drop in some application variables. And what I've got here is a barcode scanner, a claimed barcode scanner. Remember the claim model that exists, right? Magnetic stripe reader and the claimed magnetic stripe reader. Okay, so that's the variables for my application. The next thing that we're going to do is remember that button in the application, begin transaction, right? Remember that? Okay, so this is where we're going to fill in the code behind begin transaction. Okay, so there it is. We dropped the code in, just like that. So here's where I get default async on the scanner. If we get a scanner, I claim the scanner. You'll notice that data received on the scanner currently has the red squiggle on it. That's because that function is currently commented out. We'll get to that in just a second. We'll turn on decode the data. If the data from the barcode read can be decoded to a string, then this will kind of do that for us. And remember the enable disable. I'm going to turn on the enable, which means that when the barcode is read, I'm going to automatically get the data event called and get the data that I can then decode and do something interesting with. Okay, the magnetic stripe reader is just the same. Get default async, claim the magnetic stripe reader, set up the data callback for the data received handler, turn on data enabled, enable it, and then we're done. So that's pretty straightforward. Okay, the next thing we're going to do is drop in the code here for the bank card data received handler. And this is kind of interesting in that what I mentioned for magnetic stripe reader is that, in effect, there are three different types of data event that I can get. I can get bank card data received, I can get motor vehicle data received, and I can get vendor card data received, right? So the reason why we have three different callbacks is that in the case of bank card and the auto vehicle card, motor vehicle card, the data layout on the physical magnetic card has been pretty much locked and defined since like 1952. So the byte positions within the card itself are very well defined, right? So rather than giving you the raw track data and having you go figure out, oh, wait a second, where does first name and last name appear within the track data? No, no, we give you access to the track data if you want to read it, but we also decode the track data for you and drop it into well-known names. So, for example, you get arguments.firstname, arguments.surname, arguments.expiration date, arguments.account number, which will be the card number read off of the card, right? So what I'm doing here, if you think back to the original application, in effect, what I'm doing here is just taking that pre-decoded data from that card read, and I'm dropping it into the UI, right? So I'm setting firstname.text equals the bank card first name, right? Okay, so that's what the card reader stuff looks like. And the next thing that we need to do is drop in the scanner data received. And this should look pretty familiar to you as well. So in effect, what I'm doing here is on the data received, I'm setting up a data reader from the scan data label. And remember, the scan data label is the decoded text that comes off of the scan. So scan data is the original data, binary data, and then the scan data label is the decoded data. So what I'm doing here is converting that into a string using scan data label reader.readstring. And then I'm creating an instance of my data manager, which obviously connects to my large corporate data backend with a very large list of supported barcodes in it. And what I'm doing here is adding to a list view the price, updating the total cost, the name of the item, and so on. If the item isn't found, then I'm throwing a message dialog that says, this barcode wasn't found, and here's the value of the barcode that we just read. Okay, so it's a fairly simple application, but at the same time, it's also very full-featured. Everything that you would need in order to read a bank card and get the data from it, read barcodes, or let's expand that slightly, various symbologies, and get that data and do something interesting with it, is contained within this application. Okay, so that's our basic application complete. Have we done everything that we need to do to build and run this application? As it turns out, yes, we have. Okay, so let's go ahead and build this application. And then I'm going to run the application. And it looks just the same as it did before. I've got my magnetic stripe card reader here on the desk. When I hit begin transaction, the LED turns on the magnetic stripe reader to show that this is now active and is now ready to start reading data. So what I'm going to do is take my card, read it through, and you notice the text box now updates with the data from the card, right? I just so happen to have a set of items to go shopping with here in front of me. So what I'm going to do now is, what's the time? Is it coming up towards lunchtime? I guess it probably is. Okay, so what I'm going to do is scan some items. 4 hot dogs, I think that's probably enough for everybody in the room. Maybe some pumpkin tort to wash it down. And I'll scan this. Oh, wait a second, that barcode isn't recognized. But that's okay, because we handled that within our application. Okay, so we've scanned stuff, and that's hit our corporate database and returned data that we now show on the left-hand side. We've read a credit card. Obviously, what we now need to do is capture a signature inside of the application, right? And then the final step, which is a piece of code that was hidden within the application that you didn't get to see, is hit share, mail, and then all the data that was part of that transaction is now captured within this email that we could obviously send directly to the customer, right? So that, in just a few minutes, is literally everything that you need to know to build a point-of-sale, point-of-service application. There's obviously a missing step, which is taking the actual encrypted card data and pushing it to Eurocard, MasterCard, Visa, Amex, whoever, to actually validate and complete the transaction. But that's obviously outside of the scope of this application. Okay. But wait, there's more. What I'm now going to do, I'm sure that each of you here at Build have been having fun with your Acer tablet.
Yes.
Yeah, like one of these guys, right? So what I'm going to do now is just move this over to here, unplug the peripherals from my Surface Pro, and plug the exact same peripherals into the Acer tablet. So hopefully you can see that. The application that I was just running, I dropped onto here. It's the steps that I went through to build the application that you saw on screen. I did that last night at the hotel room, right? I built the application package, built a store package, and then Enterprise side-loaded that package onto the Acer, right? So it's the exact same application. So you can see it here on the screen. I can hit begin transaction. The light turns on the magnetic stripe reader. I can obviously read the card through and the data appears. I can scan, hot dogs and things and, ooh, scan a barcode that wasn't recognized. So here's the exact same application running on a relatively small form factor on the exact same thing that you've got here, right? So you can easily imagine somebody walking around within a store carrying, in this case, an 8.1-inch tablet device, maybe with a small form factor USB-connected scanner or MagStripe reader, line-busting within a store, right? Very easily. Okay. Right, let's go back to the slides. Okay, so that was building a simple POS app. We've already seen the cooperative lock, the two applications that were running side by side, one getting the device and getting the claim, and then the second application trying to get the lock, trying to get the claim on the device. You may have heard during yesterday's keynote, or you may have seen John Devine's keynote from TechEd, which I think was either the same day or maybe the day before, some additional interesting technologies, such as assigned access. Assigned access combine what you've just seen in terms of writing an application that consumes barcodes and MagStripe data, and combine that with a model that allows you as a device administrator to lock a device user to a specific application, right? So maybe on that Acer device, I have an administrator account and I've got a user account. And that user account, through assigned access, only has the ability to run my point-of-sale application. So as soon as that user logs in, the application is automatically launched. Side swipes are disabled, so you can't get back to the desktop. The hard swipe down to shut down the application is disabled, but application bar swipes, the small swipes to bring down the app bars, top and bottom, are still supported, right? So now what you have is a locked down kiosk mode model for your store or specific application that gives your user the ability to run only the application that they need to do their job, right? So I think that's pretty cool, a combination of the APIs that we've seen to build a point of sale, point of service application, locking down a terminal to be a digital sign or potentially to be an airport check-in terminal by only allowing that under a user account to run only the airport check-in application, right? These kind of scenarios are now unlocked using Windows 8.1 and Windows 8.1 industry. Okay, so now what I'd like to do is invite Royal Gate up on the stage to show a demonstration of extending what you've already seen within this session. And what we've seen so far is using USB HID scanner and magnetic stripe reader to build a point-of-sale, point-of-service application. But to complete many of these scenarios, you also want to add in support for additional external devices. For example, something like a Bluetooth receipt printer. So this is what we're going to see now as part of this demonstration. Hey.
Hey, Mike.
Good to see you.
Good to see you again. Hello, everyone. My name is Keiji Memura. I'm a CEO and founder of Royal Gate from Japan. Before I begin our company's demo, I'd like to thank you for coming to this session today. And I'd like to thank Microsoft for this opportunity to speak with you. Thank you, Mike.
Oh, sure.
And most importantly, please excuse my poor English. I've learned English only from reading tweets and sending SMS. So if you pretend my presentation is a one long tweet, I think it will be okay. So just focus on the my keyword. Thank you. Okay. So our company Regate has manufactured produced a one-stop smart device payment solution called Paygate. So Paygate provides all the technologies surrounding such payment processing, include all of hardware, applications, server systems, and security solutions. Our company is based in Tokyo, and also Regate has been in business since 2007. In related fields, we've been developing Paygate for the last 3 years. We have clients across all industries, including insurance, logistics, and food and business, and events. Our company is positioned a bit differently than other such services in the payment industry. Because Paygate provides a total solution, we focus on the enterprise clients that demand such a flexibility to scale to their systems. Okay. So our company hardware includes Bluetooth barcode reader and Bluetooth magnetic credit card reader and Bluetooth printer. All devices are PCI DSS compliant. We also have other Bluetooth devices is the work like on magnetic card readers and IC chip and pin reader that also include NFC technology and the 2D barcode reader. Our Bluetooth magnetic card reader use triple DS and dark part key management. Our reader creates unique encryption key each time no matter how many times you swipe. This makes Paygate more secure than most other mobile payment solutions. About our Bluetooth printer. Our printer supports serial port profile. It has fast printer speed of up to 90 millimeters per second. We also have Bluetooth Rainer barcode reader, like this, and a Bluetooth 2D barcode reader in our lineup. In today's demo, I will use these devices with Windows 8.1. So it was easy to develop with Windows 8.1. We spent for just a couple of months to develop this application. We are focusing on the printer here, but the basic process is the same for the other devices as well. You only need to enumerate the device, create a communication to the device, open a socket to it. As well, don't use the Windows 8.1 POST API. We are required to format the data into a format the printer understands. Send the data to the printer, and then close the socket and disconnect from the device. Okay, just a moment. Oops. Okay, so this is our application. So I will begin the demonstration. So we will pretend that we are in a coffee shop and a customer orders drink. So, okay. Just give me a couple of seconds. Oops.
Ah, yeah, this one.
This one,
right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you can use barcode reader to scan the product. So, okay. So you can read like this. Then, yeah, you can grab the product information. So, it's easy. Thank you. Thank you. And if you want to pay by a credit card, you just push the credit card button. Then, okay, just a moment. Okay, something wrong, just a moment. Okay, so you just swipe the card, then you can get the card information. Thank you, thank you. So it already encrypted. Then, you can sign here. Then, change, please. Oops. Oh, it's already printed, but so you can get the print. So if you want to get the sales trip, so you can get the sales trip like this. So that's the end of the demo. So overall, it was very easy for us to develop this Windows 8.1. And we feel that it gave us a very high-quality product that is easy to use for our clients. It also has a great experience working closely with Microsoft in our development. So thank you again to Microsoft. So if you have any questions or would like to have some chat, so please come to my booth. So we are waiting. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so that just about wraps up the session. What we've seen here is the model in Windows 8.1 to build interesting point-of-sale and point-of-service applications using not only the built-in APIs for things like Scanner and Magnetic Stripe Reader, but also extending the model by using technologies such as Bluetooth and external devices like receipt printers to complete the kind of the point-of-sale, point-of-service scenario. It's very easy for you to build applications using these APIs. I'm sure, based on the demo that you've seen today, that within a few minutes you'll be up and running with your own application that integrates these devices into the application. And obviously with the Windows Store running across x86, x64, and ARM-based devices, with Windows Store applications, you also get very broad reach for your applications as well. Okay, so that just about does the session. There are some other resources here. A lot of these sessions have already been presented, but I'm certain that these sessions will be published online on Channel 9. So go take a look at these sessions to get more details about building applications that connect with devices, applications for USB devices, HID devices, Bluetooth devices. And there's also some links here for UPOS, for the retail technology standards, and so on. Okay, so at that point, we have about 3 minutes remaining. Obviously, fill in your evaluation forms. It's always good to get appropriate comments back from people that have attended the session. And if you have any questions, we have a couple of minutes for questions. Happy to take questions now. Yeah, at the mic.
Hi, Justin Angel. Quick question about the zen of what you built here. I love the built-in support for magnetic stripe readers and barcode scanners. It's really awesome for ruggedized tablet scenarios for PAWS.
Yeah.
I was wondering more about the fixed terminal PAWS, which you mentioned, the overall scenario.
Sure.
There's quite a lot of stuff missing from that. You know, LCD poles, money counters. There's quite a lot of other the cash drawers.
Sure.
There's quite a lot missing from that.
Sure.
I was wondering if you're thinking about filling in those gaps, or are we going to have to write pseudo drivers for Bluetooth / HID / USB serial port stuff?
Right.
Or are you working with device vendors to do that? Like, what's the story there for the terminal PAWS scenario?
Sure. Yep, I understand. So I'll repeat the question in short form, obviously, for people who will be watching the video later. So the question there was, I love what you're doing with these APIs to support Windows 8.1 mobile PAWS-type solutions with a ruggedized tablet-style device, which, interestingly, I think it was Googs was showing during the keynote yesterday. But what about the kind of more fixed payment terminal type devices you would find within a store? There's obviously a whole range of other devices there, cash drawer, change machine, bump bar, the conveyor belt, the line display, and all these other devices. Do we have plans to extend these APIs to cover those devices as well? Well, earlier in the presentation, what you would have seen is I was talking about PAWS.net. So really, if you're building a fixed point-of-sale terminal enterprise class device, at that point, you would use PAWS.net for the broad range of device support. If you're building something that is a Windows Store application and you want broad reach from the store, primarily for the kind of the mobile PAWS solution, then you would use the PAWS.RT APIs that we've detailed here in this session.
So you wouldn't recommend using WinRT or Windows Store apps for fixed PAWS terminals?
What we've seen actually is in the payment, the retail space, that in many cases, what you'll start to see, what we are seeing is that sure, in many traditional stores, you get the device that has all the 20 plus different peripherals connected to it. But in many smaller stores, in effect, all you really need is the ability to scan, swipe, and print, right? Which is really the scenario that we've seen here. So for those classes of device, absolutely use the APIs that we've detailed here. If you're building that large corporate fixed terminal device that is bristling with connected things, then POS.NET is the right solution for that today. Okay, yeah, next question.
Similar scope, are you supporting UPOS or OPOS with that? The APIs you're having?
So the question there is, are we supporting UPOS or OPOS? UPOS is the universal point of service, is a standard that defines, in effect, properties, methods, and events that are used across devices, right? For example, the type of data that you would get back from a barcode scan, the scan data label, the symbology of the scan, right? So this follows that model very closely. If you're already using POS.NET, if you're already using OPOS, then this is kind of based on that model, right? Is it based on OPOS? OPOS is OLE for point of service that uses COM objects under the hood to expose the interfaces to an application developer. So this is not using OPOS. This is using the WinRT APIs to allow you as an application developer, no matter which language you're using, whether it be JavaScript, native, or C#, to consume these APIs in a very natural way.
So for the printing, for instance, is that a standard API?
So the two APIs that we've added are for scanner and magnetic stripe reader. If you wanted to connect to something like a receipt printer in some way, then you would use the additional technologies that are listed here. The built-in APIs within Windows 8.1 for Bluetooth connectivity, or the built-in APIs in Windows 8.1 for USB HID connectivity. Okay.
Okay. Question over here.
Yeah. Oh, where? Oh, yeah, over there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sort of a follow-on to the first question, what is the game plan for POS RT, if there is any, for Windows embedded handheld for the replacement for the current Windows Mobile technology?
Right. I can't talk to this. This is Windows 8.1 session, so I don't have an answer for you there. What we're talking about here is the Windows 8.1 API support.
Okay, so no idea about any of this RT support for anything in the window in the embedded space.
We're just talking about Windows 8.1 here.
Okay.
The cards with the chip, with the smart cards, do they use the same APIs, or are there different APIs going to be for those?
I missed the first part of the question.
Credit cards with a chip, magnetic.
Right. Yep. Chip. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Will they use the same APIs or different APIs?
Okay, so the question there is that in certain parts of the world, there are types of bank card that have an embedded chip. And typically, there is a device that's typically about this kind of size, handheld, mobile, that at the point of sale, you insert your card, and it reads the data from the card. So these are typically known as chip and pin devices. And they typically have a built-in secured pin pad for you entering your pin and maybe an integrated printer and these kind of things. The interface for that, from a UPOS standard, that is a separate class of device that is known as chip and pin or EMV class device. So it's not the same as scanner and MSR. MSR is for the physical card read, and scanner is obviously for the scanning piece. So adding support for chip and pin would be using the additional APIs that we've detailed here. Okay.
So two questions. First off, we saw earlier in the keynote that there was a built-in all-in-one barcode scanner, all of that.
Right.
Are you aware?
Physical device, you mean?
Yeah. Physical ruggedized tablet.
Yep.
Are you aware of any devices that fit that bill that are actually available for purchase on the market?
So the question there is, during the keynote yesterday, I think it was Guggenheimer, showed an example of a device, ruggedized device, that had a built-in scanner, and I think it also had a magnetic stripe reader. And the question is, am I aware of any, or are we aware of any device manufacturers that are building those classes of device? I don't have a name right here, But see me afterwards, and we'll exchange cards and go from there.
And then the second question.
Yeah. Oh, there's number two, yeah.
Probably should have been in WCL 23, but is there now support for accessing a serial device from Windows runtime? Yes.
So either you're providing USB thin Wi-Fi for active smart APIs, we're not providing a serial API.
Okay.
However, if you have a USB connected device, we'll see an SDK sample for your USB comm device cloud, which is how you can actually implement a serial protocol on top of the USB or device that you install with USB. You can also obtain like a USB to serial.
Great. Thank you very much.
So the question there is, what about connecting to serial devices? And the answer from George down the front here is, there isn't a direct serial API, but you can get USB to serial devices. And I think what you said is there is a sample that will be published that shows how, has been published, that shows how a developer can use a USB to serial adapter and write code to talk to the serial device. Good. Yes.
So are there any plans soon to do encrypted PIN debit, or is it similar with the chip and PIN that you just have to use one of these solutions?
So I heard the first part.
Are there any plans soon to support PIN debit?
Right. So the question there is, are there any plans to support PIN pad class device? And the answer is, you need to use one of these things here.
Okay.
All right. So that wraps up the session. I'll hang around for a few minutes in case there are any more questions. Thanks very much for coming, and don't forget to fill out the evaluation. Thank you very much.